Brandon Baxter in the morning.
All right, the After Show podcast, Thursday, July 27th. David is not here today. I think he has an infection.
And it was given by me.
Kelly gave him an infection or something.
Yeah.
So David legit, I think, was getting sick as we were dressing him up and toting him around town.
Yeah, he didn't feel good as soon as he got here. I think he probably has like strep or flu or something.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so now Joey's going to get it because he's about to talk in his microphone.
I'm going to try not to touch it with my lips.
Joey Perry joins us here. That's Kelly's husband, Joey Perry Martial Arts. We've known each other way before I knew you, I think.
That's right.
I mean, he would go out with me in the early days of the Rockin' Apple. Like, he was there. He was an institution when we started the Rockin' Apple because he'd go in and I'd come in as Kiss FM guy with whoever my partner was, probably Allie at the time. Mm-hmm. And then Joey would come in and do, like, you know, protection and kicks and all this stuff.
Yeah, we did do a few of those back in the day. Absolutely. I remember one at Westside in particular.
Yes, I remember that one too.
And there was a few. You're right.
Like, is that 04, 05?
Probably.
Like, you've been doing the martial arts thing forever.
Yeah, I opened up my own studio when I was 17. I had the chance that summer, right after I graduated high school, to do that. And then within 2 years, I opened up a studio here. I was teaching at a Newport, and I kept that. So I was doing both 17, 18, 19, trying to compete. So yeah, I've been doing it for a minute.
So as a 17-year-old kid, I'm thinking back to what I was like, right? I was probably trying to look at nudie magazines and movies and stuff. Uh-huh. But
still,
I wasn't
motivated. Yeah,
no. That hasn't changed. Who are we kidding here?
But I mean, like, how in the heck do you open your own business at that age? Because that's unheard of.
You know, like, for me, I didn't really think about it like I was opening a business, you know, because at that time, I had a lot of really good martial art mentors or pretty good mentors, but none of them approached it as a business. You know what I mean? So all along, I was like, well, when I have my own studio, I'll promote and I'll have more students and whatever. But I still didn't think about it that way. The best advice I got when I opened that up at 17 is one of my instructors from out of town came in to kind of, quote, help me, you know, set it up. And he's like, well, you need to repaint this and do this. And then you need to have people sign these agreements and, you know, just make sure if you ever want to stop and get a soda or something, don't stop at one of those liquor stores. You don't want people to see at the liquor store.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, and I was 17. You know, I wasn't going to be at the liquor store anyway. Right. You know,
you were sending somebody else.
Yeah. I was like,
you know, you were paying the 21-year-old.
No. But for real though, in my head, I was just like, I wouldn't go there anyway, sir. But I was like, yes, sir, I understand, whatever. And, you know, as years go by, you understand those types of things, you know. But of course, you get now, and I'm like, you know, I'm 40 years old. If I want to have an adult beverage, you know, it's fine. I can stop at the liquor store.
You'll pull up in a fully logoed truck.
Yeah. In a fully logoed truck. I was like, you know, I'm perfectly capable of having a beer, you know, if I'd like. But back then, you know, looking at it, I was 17. So that was good advice. It was just odd, but I didn't think about it as a business. You know, I just thought, well, I'm going to get to finally teach martial arts, and that's what I love. Because I've been doing it since I was 8. At that time, it was almost 10 years I've been in it. I was a third degree black belt. I was certified. Damn. I thought, man, this is what I can do. And, you know, after a few years of paying bills and rent and utilities and trying to figure out, you know, all that, I'm like, oh, I guess this is a business.
So where was your first location?
In Newport. I took over a club in Newport when I was 17 that had existed. We had a little circle of a little group of people that worked together in different towns, and that was my first one.
And then when you came to Jonesboro and opened up, where was your first spot?
It was over on Nettleton.
You remember where Cornelius Lovelace was when we did fitness boot camp at first?
Yeah, and
it was in that.
Yeah, actually,
kind of toward Airport Road.
Yeah, Airport Road. But actually, the first studio was just around the corner from that. The very first one. Oh. I was only there for 6 months because the owner of the building and I had a disagreement about something. And I was like, well, I can just move. And he's like, yeah. I don't think he thought martial arts was good. It was weird back then. But it's a strip center right around the corner from Airport Center that faces the tracks. And then I moved over to Airport Center, which she's talking about. So that was the first location here in Jonesboro. But I lived here. I grew up here. And I just traveled to Newport 3 days a week because I had that opportunity.
Sure.
So at 17 and 18, that's what I was doing, along with trying to compete all around the country and do my thing.
Y'all have a lot of a similar story because you started your careers very young and like you knew what you wanted to do. Like,
did people think you were nuts? Because my family thought I was nuts to try to do wrestling and think I was going to make a living doing something like that.
Yeah,
supportive.
It's kind of a mixed bag because my mom and dad have always been really supportive of anything I wanted to do. Their background, you know, they didn't have a lot of experience. They had no business experience at all. Although my dad is fantastic with money and fantastic with that. So any positive I have, I learned from him. But none of it was from a business perspective, you know, and my mom, you know, didn't either, you know, blue collar, you know, great people, but they couldn't give me any business advice. But they were concerned, you know, all this money, well, you got to pay rent every month. You know, my dad's like, you got to pay rent every month and you got to, you know, so you got to be, you know, you got to be on top of it. And I was like, okay, yeah, cool. But me and my dad, I was like, it's all good. You know, like it'll happen, you know? But they supported it, but at the same time were on me to make sure I was doing the right things, you know. But then when I said, oh, well, you know, this is going well, because I blew Newport up. I started getting new students in a little town like Newport. I thought, well, I'm pretty good at this. You know, let's go. And I want to have a school in Jonesboro, you know. And when I went to open up here, my dad was like, you know, you don't have the money to do that. It takes money. Where are you going to get your stuff? And I thought, well, you know, we could go to the bank and get a loan and you could help me, Dad, you know, and he did.
Cosign, yeah.
Yeah, I talked him into that. But I mean, it was only like a $5,000 loan. It wasn't enough, but it was something. And I guess he believed in me enough to do that,
That's
you know,
awesome.
And take the chance. So. But I remember doing that, and well, right before I did that, you know, we did have a moment. My mom was doubting it because I was still living at home at 18, and I was doing that and traveling, and money was crazy, and I was still trying to go to tournaments. My mom was like, Joe, you know, I want you to always do your karate thing. It's great. I'm really proud of you, but you probably need to get a real job. It's never probably going to amount to much.
And did I remember, you ever have a real job?
Oh, yeah, I did. I had some part-time jobs shortly after that. I did, because I did need the money. You know, I was doing okay with it, but I wasn't really running it like a business, wasn't charging appropriately and all that. So I didn't have much. Plus, I tried to run around the country doing tournaments. I was trying to be on a national team. I was trying to be a competitor. You know, luckily, I lived at home then, you know. So my mom was right. She was wrong, but she was right, you know. And I remember writing that down on a piece of paper and putting it on my mirror and, you know, this will never amount to anything. It's like, I'm going to show her.
Yep.
But it wasn't coming from a perspective where she thought I wasn't going to do anything. She just thought, hey, this is reality. You need to get another job or something, you know. Now looking back, I understand what she meant. And I did. I worked part-time at Hank's Furniture, selling furniture.
Right.
and this is after that point. Before that, I was a grocery store kid.
You should tell them about your job in elementary school.
My job in elementary school? Which one is that?
Oh, you know.
I don't? Oh, yeah, I do know. I started my entrepreneurship probably in third grade. Yeah.
What did you do in third grade?
So, you know, so I had an idea of, like, I rode the school bus. And what would happen is our school bus would, around the corner from our house, there was a convenience store. Well, somehow or another, we talked the young college-age driver into stopping so two of us could get out and take orders from the bus and go in and get a soda or get candy or something for the school bus to drive to school.
Could never happen today.
No, it could never happen today. And it probably wasn't supposed to happen then. So thank goodness we had a crazy cool bus driver.
Right.
And it was the same guy for 2 years in a row.
Right.
So that helped. And so I got the idea of going in and buying like packages of Nowlaters that used to come in like packs of 10 or so, right? And then I would get some other little packs like that. But Nowlaters were the big thing. And I would buy a pack of Nowlaters for 10 cents, right? So I thought, well, I can make money. So I would take them, I would go to school, and I would sell each Nowlater for a nickel. So kids would bring money, and I would sell packs of Nowlaters, or I would sell a whole thing for like 50 cents, whatever.
Right.
So I was probably making—
In the third, Bruce's age.
That's probably classic. Making $2 a day or so, selling Nowlaters and candy.
Hey, that's worth it.
Hey, man, I'd make like $10, $12 a week. I could go buy a new G.I. Joe or a new Nintendo Power magazine or something. It was cool.
Speaking of magazines, he was a good salesperson with his mom as well.
I guess my entrepreneurship started early, yeah.
What is that?
Well, I think I was maybe like fifth or sixth grade. Well, actually, maybe a little older. No, that would be horrible.
Older,
I was
yes.
older than that. I'm sorry. Sorry, Mom. I was older. I was in high school. I was like 10th grade. And I thought it was funny. I convinced my mom. I was like, hey, we got these. You know how you get the magazine order things in the mail?
Oh, in the old days. Yeah, and you could check what you
wanted.
You
could check what you wanted, whatever. Yeah. So I looked at it and said, Mom, you want any magazines? And she was going to get something, like,
good
something.
Housekeeping.
Yeah, something.
Right.
I was like, okay, well, I want one too. She was like, okay, well, tell me what you want. So I selected Playboy because it was
she
on there.
She did it.
And she did it.
Oh, she did not.
She did it.
She did it.
She got you. And how old do you think you were?
I was like 10th grade. 10th to 11th grade. I don't
know. So it's like the perfect time to get
that. Yeah,
perfect.
You know? Which my son's
like, you needed that.
Yeah. Eighth grade.
Self discovery, I tell you.
Could you imagine Kai going to Leslie when he's 15? Mom, could you go get me some Playboys?
I can't imagine me doing that today.
I know.
Yeah, you know, I probably wouldn't go back to my mom today with that. I mean, although I have such a great relationship with my parents that I can say anything to them and they'd
laugh.
You know, it's just, it's all funny. But back then, you know, think about that. I mean, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it for Bruce or Kurt.
Oh my gosh.
But the fact that she did that, I don't know if she did it because she didn't really pay attention, which is probably the case.
She had no idea it was in the
until magazine. After the fact, because there became a point when I was getting them, I was like, "Oh, mom," you know. She's like, "What are you doing with that?" I was like, "Well, you ordered them."
She thought it was a toy magazine, Playboy.
Something.
It's
you know,
it's boys play stuff.
Boys who play.
So I think it's that's probably what it really was at the beginning. But I was so smooth with it and just so whatever. And then whenever I got them in, I was like,
"Sweet
party!"
I got I remember the first time I saw a Playboy. Because I didn't know what they were. And my cousin, Dustin, he's like, my dad has these magazines. And I guess because like his mom and dad had split up. And I don't know how long he had Playboy. But we found them. And it was a rather interesting thing because we would sneak off. And it was so secretive when we would find them. And we'd hide and we'd have a lookout because we were going to go through the magazines. And we're talking about the 80s.
Yeah.
And the stuff, we were like, oh my gosh. And then we'd have to hide them and cover them up and all that kind of stuff.
I have a story. When I was in third grade, I had this little boyfriend. His name was Trevor Hampton. And we would ride bikes together all around the block. He lived down the road from me. And he was like, so we went to his house to get a drink. And he was like, oh, let me show you something. This is third grade. And you remember, you know how innocent I was. You know how I was raised.
I know that,
I know, things have changed, whatever. That's what you were going to say. But
drastically.
He was like, hey, let me show you something. It's in my dad's closet. I didn't think anything about it. And he's like, look at this. And on the front of it, and I remember it vividly, it was a Hustler magazine.
Oh, my gosh.
And which is what, it's the which sleazy kind, right?
Those are horrible. Those are worse.
It's a step or two above.
Yeah, because Playboy's a little more classy.
Yeah.
I mean,
a little more
tasteful. It was more socially acceptable.
Yeah. And Hustler was a little more down and dirty.
Yeah. Anyway, he opened it and it was like, I didn't see any guys, but I saw a girl and I could not. And he was flipping through pages. And I remember going home and I don't think I ever told my mom.
Oh, no.
Of course she didn't.
Until now.
No, because I mean, I remember seeing those and those, like, I would have rather seen the other ones as opposed to that one. Because, like, what is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were a little down and dirty. Mm-hmm.
So it seems funny, though, because if you had somebody that you were close to that got Playboy, I wonder if it was more socially acceptable back then. Like, if the magazine was just seen different in the early 80s, maybe it was more, was it a cool factor or what? Because
a
lot of guys had them.
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't go to anybody's house or anything where they had them or they had stashes or whatever. I don't remember that ever happening. But they sure would like to come to my house.
Heck yeah,
And check out my stash over in the cabinet. Yeah, we would have been BFFs.
He didn't even have to hide his.
Could I borrow this?
Because they do.
They were like on the coffee table.
And I remember a few conversations. My dad, who... You know,
he loved them too.
My dad. My dad would be like, "All right," you know. But honestly, I remember him getting on to my mom, you know, and them having a back and forth about it because you know you can't get this teenager, you know, blah blah blah. And she's like, "I didn't know at first, but now he's had them for a year and da da da."
He's so much happier.
Yeah, and he's really happy when he comes down. But you know, it was interesting. But I did. I kept them. I collected them forever. I probably wound up having about 3 or 4 years worth there.
A buddy of mine, and it's somebody that we all know mutually, his dad, and it was a local guy, was the biggest Playboy collector. He had pinball machines, he had robes, he had the slippers from Hugh Hefner, he had all this stuff. And it was like worth tons of money. But I remember the first time he took me down into his basement and showed me, it was a Playboy room. And they were all like in binders. Like it wasn't even like, you know, it wasn't even dirty.
No,
it was like
collecting them.
It was just the collector's.
They weren't sticking together or anything.
No.
Ew.
But I borrowed it. I remember.
A few pages were missing.
The first one I ever bought. Actually, I wasn't old enough to buy it.
It was probably Pamela Anderson.
It wasn't Pam Anderson. I probably bought that one too.
It was a
Baywatch? It was a supermodel. Think about. Early 90s supermodels.
Cindy Crawford.
Wasn't Cindy.
I don't think she ever posed.
It was Elle McPherson.
Elle, I was about to say the redheaded girl.
She did. She did have one, huh?
She did. Yeah, she did. Because I remember. It was like a huge story, and I was probably 15, 16, whatever. And I'm like, hey, that's cool. So one of my wrestling buddies bought it, and I hid it forever and didn't show my mom or anything. Yeah. 'Cause it's kind of like, at that point, it's kind of embarrassing when you're that old too.
A little bit. It's both.
Because it's like, yeah, I'm just looking at the pictures. But anyway,
I'm reading the articles.
I can still remember actually going out and buying that.
You know what? And the articles in those actually were good. Like, people laugh about that all the time, but they're actually, because especially as a teenager, you know, like, you know how when Maxim came out, Maxim was like the clean version of that.
Yeah.
And they would have a lot of, Maxim was actually a cool magazine with like tech stuff, movies.
Oh,
like
gadgets, all
the,
watches.
All the other stuff other than the hot girls that were in it, you would have all that. I'm like, oh, that's actually a cool magazine to read. It's like a cooler version of GQ, basically.
Oh, yeah.
But Playboy wasn't as, I didn't think the articles were quite as cool. I thought they were, some of their articles were more like above my pay grade at 10th and 11th grade. I'd read it. I'm like, I don't care about social whatever. I don't care about what's going on overseas. I don't care about what. But some of the stuff was pretty cool, and you wouldn't read it anywhere else. And you're talking about certain subjects. I don't remember anything off the top of my head, but I thought, yeah, it's kind of cool. But I really would read through it. Yeah, I was that nerdy.
But that's cool, though. You wanted to make sure you got your money's worth. Your
I mom guess
got
her so, bro, because I read them a lot.
back, do you still the have them?
No, they all got thrown
Although
away.
When I first met him, we first started dating, he did have a collection of Maxims.
Did you?
Yeah. Like
he kept Adriana Patrick, Adrian, whatever, Patrick.
Yeah, no, she's pretty.
Her, you had a bunch of ones you kept.
Yeah, there. Yeah, because I
what
got
about Tara Reid? Because, yeah. Dude, for listen, a minute, Tara Reid
had one good photo shoot in her life pre or after her complete disaster. I don't know. It was one of them. But I thought, oh, well, she looks pretty. But that's the only time I've ever thought that. The rest of them, I thought, eh, she kind of looks white trash. But.
See, oh, I loved her in the first American Pie.
Yeah,
and
then,
well, that was her best moment.
That was, yeah.
No, that was it. And then you heard she dated Carson Daly, and then Eminem had the song that mentioned that she was messing around with whoever, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, she
it was Fred
apart.
Durst, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
We saw a picture of Tara Reid at
he
some event.
He did it all for what?
The Nookie.
Okay, just check.
That's what we all do it for.
Just wanted to make sure. Make sure we knew that line.
That's what you do it for,
yeah,
too,
yeah,
right?
I mean, all the time.
Chocolate Starfish. Hot dog flavored water.
What?
That's the name of the album. It's
okay.
A whole other thing.
I was like, what are you just...
Did you see both of our faces?
I just went... like, what is he saying?
We both completely...
That's the name of the album. I just haven't remembered
How do you
that.
Know that?
I was a big fan.
Were you really?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the best song?
Well, you know, you can't argue Nookie.
My way or the highway.
It was good.
Oh, I did like that one, too.
You know, I liked, I may get some crap over it, but I liked his, the reinvention of Faith that they did.
Ooh, that was good.
I thought that was pretty legit, like how he eased into it, and then like how it hits, and then it's got that, it was cool. It was good to work out to and stuff.
They do Rolling, too. Rolling, Rolling.
Now, Rolling was cool. That was very catchy, you know, so like you're just having a good time.
I know what you're doing right here.
Man, that's funny.
Yeah. It's good stuff, man. For sure.
We're all the same
age. I did have the collection of Maxim, but I got that when like my first marriage. I went up ordering that because, again, I really authentically like to read Maxim.
Sure.
It did help that occasionally there'd be some cute girl in it.
Sure.
Not that I cared.
What about Pam Anderson? Were you a Pam Anderson person? Because, dude, I was. Like, to
not
me,
really.
95, I thought she was the prettiest chick of all time.
I thought she was better the earlier days of Baywatch prior to all the reconstructions.
Oh, yeah. I did, too.
I'm not a do what you do, do what you want to do, do what you need to do, whatever, but it can be too much, and I think it got
she
to be
too,
too much, you know, because in the CJ days, prior to all the too much.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, because she did it toward the end. I forgot.
She looked normal and pretty, but then it got to, by the time she did Barbed Wire, I wasn't interested.
The hair change.
Honestly.
And the implants and all
I know
that.
People think, you're like, oh, they're bombshells. I don't really, that doesn't.
See, I still liked her.
Flip my switch.
Well, when I was thinking back to Home Improvement when you first saw her, when she first got her break, and she was spotted in the crowd at some game. Well, and
before
she
was
beautiful.
Famous, that was a beautiful picture of her.
Oh my gosh, she was so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, she kind of ruined it all. Yeah, I guess some people like it.
Yeah, it whatever works, right?
Whatever works for you, it's all good. But to ask my opinion, yeah, the CJ Home Improvement days was her best.
That was absolutely the best. Let's see here. Kelly was mentioning that when you guys got home from, I guess, work yesterday, that you had a complete mess to clean up.
The minefield?
Yeah, so...
Do you ever wonder why you... Let's take her out of this, because we can't talk to her fairly about this.
He already knows.
Do you ever think, why do we have dogs?
This is. Can I just leave the room to go to the bathroom? Because this is just going to make me upset.
Every hour of my life, I think.
Like, I love them when they're on the couch and they're just chilling with us. But when they jump down and I have to worry about what they're doing every second they're not on my lap, I'm like, what do we even have these animals for?
It's two additional children. is what it is.
So when you're
who don't go to the bathroom.
So we have five kids, and two of them will
pee
wherever. And poop wherever they wish at any time they wish, and then look at you like you're stupid when you get onto them.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, no matter how many, like literally, I think yesterday morning I took them out twice prior to 10 a.m. And I know she may or may not have when at some point
now, Joey,
4 in the morning,
supposed
whatever.
To. She's supposed to,
but she may not have taken them out. I don't know. But irregardless, when I woke up at like 7:30 yesterday, I took them out then. And then I took them out again at like 9:15, and I watched them use the restroom outside, come back in, and about an hour later, I'm expecting her home, and I'm walking around the table, and there were two gigantic messes.
And they're small dogs. I'm like,
your dogs aren't nearly as small as you try to sell them.
We
like
might as well have Rottweilers. That's how much they poop.
Let me just say that there were two messes that were extreme.
But here's what happened.
Like extreme messes. I'm like, I just took them out twice in the last few hours and 40 minutes ago. Where does this come from? And
it's almost like they think pooping outside is bad. And they
well, it's a luxury
snobby
to poop inside.
Dogs.
It's a luxury to poop inside.
Yeah, they're snob dogs.
Would you want to poop outside?
Yeah.
Or would you rather?
Normally I do.
I'd rather poop outside in my front yard than on my carpet.
Yeah, I don't.
If I had a choice,
I don't think they see it like that.
Yeah.
No, they don't because they don't.
Carpets like grass
because they're stupid dogs.
Are we solids or liquids?
Oh, they're both.
So when you had to clean it up, was it a solid?
Yesterday was a little less solid
because
more liquidy.
Kurt had left the remainder of his
pizza.
That
was prior to that. I think they ate something else. Somebody constantly feeds them human food. Somebody does.
Is the person
that's
in the room?
Terrible.
They might be in the room. They might be the hottest person in the room.
Hang on.
Yet, they feed the dogs human food,
not
and then they wonder why the dogs
just little bites.
Poop incorrectly. Somebody out there, like, you know what? Dr. Reed
Let's
needs to
Kevin.
Have this conversation.
It's totally bad for them and for their diets, too, because our fat content was supposed to be different. Like, those dog foods are specifically
I don't let
meant.
Them, like, clean my plate. I give them, like, a morsel. Like, oh, come
but
here.
But it only makes them
half
want more.
Half of a cheeseburger.
That's
chicken,
not true.
Here's
broccoli.
A pizza.
He knows that's not true.
You know what's going on.
Broccoli?
But yeah,
did
no,
you say broccoli?
Nobody. Even dogs don't want to eat broccoli.
Mine will.
I'm just going to straight up tell you that when we came home last night, she's right.
There was like, a battlefield.
It was
a minefield.
The kids walked.
Oh, my God.
We have upstairs, and we have a little landing before they go into their bedrooms, and I mean, they start freaking out. I'm like, hey, if there's poop up there, just you know, go get some TP and
well, the
go,
kids
go
hadn't
clean
been
it up.
With us a couple of days, and there's no reason for me to have to go upstairs. So we're done.
Could you smell when you walked in, like when you opened the door? Did it hit you?
No.
Not too bad, but sometimes we get, you know how like you get, I don't say used to it, but you miss it because it's, you know, house. And we're always afraid of that because we don't want to be those
I
people.
I never want to have people over because I'm scared they'll think that
I went up there, and it was like, you ever played that mind game on your phone where you push the button and like squares disappear and then there's like mines?
Yeah.
Minesweeper.
Yeah, Minesweeper. Yeah. That's right. Well, imagine if you played Minesweeper and
with poop.
Out of 100 boxes, like 95 boxes had a mine in it and you saw that screen. That's what I saw.
Oh, it was awful.
Oh, you couldn't step.
How long did it take you to clean it up?
It literally took three of us, me and Kurt and, well, eventually Ella when she finally decided to help, about 10 to 12 minutes to clean it all up.
Hang on, though. You left somebody out cleaning up the poop.
I gave Bruce another project to do.
No, I wasn't thinking about Bruce.
He did come back and help.
Tell Brandon why I wasn't cleaning up poop.
She was starting to fix dinner.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
What did you make last night?
We had Taco Wednesday, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Taco Wednesday, and they were great. She makes great tacos.
So,
they're good. Avocado, tomato is good.
I've heard you say a couple different times. And you said like your parents called you Joe. She calls you Joe all the time.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Joe and Joey? Because the business is Joey Perry Martial Arts.
You know what it's became? I don't ever think of it, but what it is if you've been around, I guess if you've been around my family a substantial amount of time, those people tend to start calling me Joe. I never have that conversation with anybody.
His dad's like, why'd you just call him Joey? That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, so they've always called me Joe. My family's called me Joe forever, you know. Now, some of my cousins will still say Joey.
Sometimes I still say it.
But
what do you say, like, if you go to meet somebody for the first time?
Joey. I introduce myself, Joey Perry.
So it's off the brand of the business.
Yeah, I just stick with Joey, but I don't care.
She calls you Joe all the time. And that when I first started hanging out with you guys all together, I thought that was crazy.
Yeah.
Because like she was the only person I've ever heard call you
Joe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She does. And in my, I've got a couple of friends of mine that have been friends with me since elementary, high school, whatever. And no matter how long it's been between seeing them or whatever, it's still, they'll call me Joe.
It's funny. The kids at the school will be like, Mr. Joey Perry.
Yeah.
Or when we go to Joey Perry's, like, and they'll say it to him, and it's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. That's the reverse thing, is that, yeah, I'll be driving. Like, if I drive a van one day, if I go pick up kids, or even if I'm just there, it's funny because we've done such branding over the years. That's the only way to just to explain it, you know. And me, I think it's cute and funny. Yeah. And I'm honored, I'm humbled by it. But the kids is, hey, when we get to Joey Perry, and they're talking to me, when we get to Joey Perry's, yeah, can we blah blah blah? And I'm like, I just kind of chuckle. I'm like, you bet, buddy. It's totally cool. Thank you.
You've become a destination.
Well, and even
sometimes, instead of like when we get to the studio,
when we get to Disney World,
and they think, yeah,
when we get to Joey Perry's Disney World,
yeah, it's really funny.
And I'm like, hey, have you seen my red Joey Perry T-shirt? I say that at home
to Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I guess, I don't know, we have 900 of them here at the house. So, I mean, sure, just look somewhere, you're going to find one, you know.
In school, were you Joe or Joey?
Joey. I'm Joey everywhere and on anything. I never put Joe. I never introduced myself as that. It's just, I guess it's just a family and close friends thing, and it's nothing I've ever asked anybody to say
or do.
You've
never told me I could say that, so I've never said that.
You're welcome not allowed to.
Anybody could do it.
I would feel so weird, though. Like, to me, it would feel awkward.
Just try.
Well, I think if you were around, like, I've got some buddies, like, you know, a friend of mine from high school, Mark, and like, one of my best buddies growing up, a guy named Heath, and those guys, to this day, if they see me, they say Joe.
Do you think it's the same way that people will, like, when they get to know me better, call me B?
I say it just so I don't have to use two
syllables. I've never said that to anybody. I don't call myself that. I wouldn't tell anybody that. But
it's
like
a comfort thing, isn't it?
Like, I'll get an email from a wrestling guy who I've only met a couple times. Hey, B, got a question for you. And I'm like,
you call me KP sometimes.
Yeah.
I think some people
we call David
habit,
Crockett.
You know how some people will use like last names? Like once they kind of know you a little bit, they're like, oh, hey, Perry, what's up?
You I'm have
like,
people here that call
hey,
you Baxter.
You know, or hey, whatever. And it's like, okay, you know, cool, you know, if that's your thing. But with school, a lot of people that had that, you know.
It is neat.
So it's a thing. I guess people just get comfort. But yeah, I mean, I don't care what you call me, Joseph, Joe, Joey, just call me for dinner and call me for a deposit.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's talk fights real quick.
Yeah.
Because Kelly brought it up the other day. I didn't realize the big fight, the Jon Jones fight with Cormier is finally going to happen this weekend.
This Saturday, man.
That's going to be huge, right? Is that the biggest, outside of the mixed breed fight between McGregor and Mayweather, is this the biggest fight in the UFC?
It's probably the biggest one of the year because they didn't really, like their fight week card is normally what they try to, position that as the biggest card of the year. Like last
I didn't
year
even realize that happened already because there was less fanfare this year.
It was a little bit low key. It really was. I mean, I think it was a success for them, but it was low key. You know, their main fight was the Nunez title fight, and she's still not a key name. People don't know her.
But still, she didn't even get to fight, right?
Mm-mm. No, she fought. Nunez fought.
Oh, I thought she was the one who got hurt and didn't get to fight.
Oh, yeah. That was for the secondary. You're right. And that's, so they had all of that going on. And it's just, it seemed like there wasn't a lot of fanfare. You're absolutely right.
Because I always think when I see the commercials, I want to go to that. And I know you guys have had the chance to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I didn't see anything this year.
Yeah. And Fight Week is amazing. You know, for anybody that's a fan of UFC or fan of fighting or fan of Vegas, like Fight Week is a really cool week to go to Vegas. If you're going to do it, that's a cool week to go. There's a lot of activity.
Go.
A lot of stuff going on.
We got to meet Jon Jones at one of those.
Yeah, Jon Jones, Pettis.
Was he cool?
Very cool. Very nice.
We
very
talked
cool.
to him for 5 minutes.
Yeah, we got to hang out at 5 minutes because they had a stall in the line. So for us, we were like,
and I got Schwing. To tell him that we named our dog after him.
You did?
Bones.
Oh, because
Jon Jones.
Okay, so... Is he, like, to you, rank him in the top fighters of all time in UFC?
Number one.
Truly believe it?
No doubt.
Anderson Silva.
Yeah, he's the best overall talent the UFC's ever seen.
So for people who maybe they're listening to this because they like the podcast, but they aren't really familiar with him, how would you describe Jon Jones? Makes him good?
First of all, his athleticism is new age. So he's a new age athlete. He just turned 30 this month. So he's part of this new breed of athletes, and his whole family's athletic. He's got two brothers in the NFL, so it's just in their blood, so to speak.
Sure.
And on top of that, his size and his length gives him an advantage because in a fight with people of equal value, your length and your size often determines who has the upper hand if everything else is equal, obviously,
sure.
right? length and size means much less if the skill levels aren't comparable. But in that game, you would think anybody in the UFC should be on a similar level.
Sure.
But John's length and his size and his ability to think off the cuff and do things that other fighters aren't thinking about. Like he'll throw a spinning elbow or he'll throw a drop kick or something that other fighters aren't normally doing. A lot of fighters, they get in the habit of, well, this is my position, ABC combinations, my strength is wrestling, I'm going to stick to that, I'll throw some strikes to get to my wrestling. And John, the way he fights is, you don't know what he's going to do. Now, not in a crazy, he's not taking like Anthony Pettis cartwheel kick chances, but sure. He does that. He will do that, and he has done that, but it's not part of his norm. His norm is his length and size and his intelligence and the fact that you don't know, you could be in a clinch and all of a sudden he's dropping a spinning elbow down level and nobody does that, you know?
So, and he's fighting Cormier, who's a big guy, heavier guy.
Collegiate, Olympic-level wrestling
and
background.
And they have talked trash for years.
They don't like
they
each
fought,
other.
Haven't they fought once?
Yeah, they fought 2.5 years
Who
ago.
Who won?
John Jones.
Who's going to win this one?
John Jones.
You think so? Even with all the – because John Jones,
how
a lot of people –
How old is Cormier?
38, 39.
Oh, is he?
39, yeah.
That's – I mean, you hate to say, but that's aging for a fighter.
Oh, for a fighter, mm-hmm. It's old.
That's old, yeah.
Yeah.
So in a situation like John Jones has made a lot of headlines based on bad stuff.
Yep.
You know, some negative headlines. Is he in a good place? Is he supposed to be in a good place?
Seems like he is. He, you know, I've been a John Jones fan since really the beginning of his career. I got to meet him. I got to hang out in front because, you know, one of my guys, Alan Belcher, was in the UFC. And I went to, at UFC 100. UFC 100 is where I met John Jones.
That's cool.
And that was
in Memphis.
No, that was in Vegas.
Okay,
and
I thought it was Memphis.
That was a really, really cool trip. It was a cool story. Probably one of my coolest experiences because I was sitting in the area, the arena there for UFC 100 where with all the other families of the fighters because Alan had gotten me a special ticket. So I was sitting with his wife and one of his family members and then we were around Donald Cerrone, Chuck Liddell's people, all these people, right?
Yeah.
And there was a family sitting behind me. I didn't think anything about it. Well, John Jones was on the undercard of UFC 100. He was like the second fight prior to it going live, right?
Oh, wow.
Alan was the first fight on the live pay-per-view. He fought Akiyama, and Akiyama had just come over from Japan. It was a big deal. That fight really catapulted Alan into pop culture, but people started paying attention to him. Anyway, we were there, and Alan... beforehand, you know, we were talking about stuff. He's like, oh, this guy and this guy. And he had mentioned John. Talking about, you know, he got in the train with him a little bit. I didn't think anything about it. He wasn't on my radar. Yeah. And John fought and actually came up into the stands and sat behind me with his mom and dad.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I think one of his brothers was there too. And I thought, oh, that guy just fought. And I remember going, hey, man, good fight. He's like, oh, thank you. You know, whatever, whatever. And he sat down, and I didn't think much else about it. I'm watching the next fight, and I'm overhearing because they're just right behind me. And I'm overhearing him talking, and he's like, oh, mom, yeah, I'm going to get this bonus. And, like, I'll be able to you know, do that thing on the house that we were talking about. And they were so happy because it was right before his brothers got in the NFL and all that. And, like, I was like, oh, that dude's really nice, you know? And
cool. Being really sweet to his mama.
Yeah,
you know?
And their conversation was all so genuine, and it was just them. And so, me being the nerd that I am, I was like, man, I like that guy. I like them. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to root for him. And then his next fight, he fought Stephen Bonner, killed him. Yeah. And I was like, I'm on the John Jones bandwagon, you know? And luckily I did because he became, you know, what he is now. You know, the last couple years, he's been stupid. You know, made a lot of stupid choices. I think he...
Well, that comes with money.
Money,
power,
money,
fame.
And youth, and not a few of the right people around him. But, you know, he liked to party too much.
Yep.
And it was amazing that he would go and party and do the things he would do and then come in the next week or the next night and just destroy people.
It makes no sense to compete
at that level.
It makes
no sense because, you know, when he fought Cormier 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, Cormier is an Olympic-level wrestler who has never been defeated in his life. He was undefeated. Knocked out people, beaten people he wasn't supposed to be. He's undersized for a heavyweight, all this different stuff. And it was like, he's just going to take John down and hold him, whatever. Because John had none of those credentials other than his undefeated MMA credentials, you know. And he was a junior college wrestler. That was his thing. Anyway, and he took Cormier down 4 or 5. Cormier had never been taken down. He took him down 4 or 5 times, just owned him. It was not, wasn't even close.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That's coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, because his last fight was over a year ago.
All right, so predict it. What round?
Whatever. I think John
Backfist.
It's if it doesn't go to decision, and I think it very well could go to decision because of the way that they fight. But I think that maybe they're going to get a more aggressive in the first couple of rounds. I think Daniel's going to be more aggressive. I think he's going to come out hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's either going to be to his favor. He's going to catch John with some because he's powerful. He
sure,
can knock John out. I think if that doesn't happen, then John TKOs him by the third round.
Yeah. Mayweather and McGregor. Obviously, that's going to be
month, yeah.
It's going to be massive box office. Probably the biggest pay-per-view of all time.
I think it will be. I'd be August surprised. August 26th, right? If it didn't outsell Manny and Pacquiao and Mayweather.
And they're still, I mean, they're going everywhere doing this unique tour with all the publicity, all the trash talk, and these very, I mean, essentially, in wrestling terms, these guys both kind of have a heel persona. Mm-hmm. They're both the bad guy, trash talk.
Yeah.
There's unlikable characteristics and all this, and you want to see these guys get out there and beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
Who's going to win it?
You know, all my fighter, like, I'm going to get destroyed for saying this. I really will, but I think McGregor's got a shot.
Do you?
I do. I think in the first 4 to 5 rounds, he's got a chance.
How many rounds are there? 10?
12 rounds, I believe.
12 rounds, okay.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three-minute rounds, though, right?
2-minute rounds.
Two.
And I think, well, they may be doing three. I need to look because they changed some stuff. Like they were doing 10-ounce gloves.
Which is what? What's the difference?
Well, MMA gloves are 4.
Oh,
you know,
so there's
and in a lot of the heavier fights, they'll do like 12. Ounce or whatever, but the 10-ounce gloves, I mean, that's pretty standard for lighter weight boxing, but
right.
You know, so it's heavier than McGregor's used to, but Mayweather, it's not going to be a problem. Everything about this fight is in Mayweather's favor. They're in the boxing
they're playing
ring.
His game, yeah.
He's done this since he was 3 years old. It's his game. All the little, like you can't, when you've done something your whole life, you may not be the best at it, maybe you're older, like Mayweather's 39, but you can't take away slight movement. You can't take away ring smarts. You can't take away, well, I know this is going to happen. You know, Mayweather just has that about that game, you know? And McGregor's fought his whole life too, but he's fought more MMA and kickboxing and whatever, so it's different. Now, if they
have taken half of his arsenal, if not more than half of his arsenal away.
75%.
I can't get over how he won't be able just to throw a kick because he's so used to that.
Yeah, all it is a pure straight by the rules boxing match. That completely favors Mayweather no matter what.
Yeah, all the way.
In every level. The chance that McGregor has is his striking is good. His hands are powerful. He's strong. He's got a left hand that's, I mean, everybody, like, you know that. Mayweather knows that. He's going to game plan for that. But if nobody comes out too aggressive with Mayweather because they can't hit him. He's so fast. He's slick and his shell defense and everything else. But if McGregor can connect in the first few rounds before he gets a little bit tired, Mayweather could be in trouble because he's going to bring footwork and he's going to bring angles that Mayweather never sees because boxers don't fight like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then his aggressiveness and his combinations are going to be different. I feel like McGregor needs to be aggressive and tie him up. His chance is to clinch
to
and tie
him
up and dirty box with him and just be on that line of almost being dirty but not quite and get in Mayweather's head and hurt Mayweather, wear him out a little bit because nobody ever clinches with Mayweather. So if he'll do that, I think he's got a real shot in the first 4 or 5 rounds. If it goes past 5 rounds, my money would be completely on Mayweather. I wouldn't want it to be. I want McGregor to win.
Me too.
But the analyst in me, that's how I say it. That's what I think.
So when you look at somebody like McGregor, right? Obviously people think he's awesome and he's done great.
He's
and
a great
huge
fighter.
Box office and all of that stuff. How much of that is because he gets in people's heads and because he has
taunting.
Yeah, I mean he really does. He gets into it.
It's a game.
And I think that's what he's so great at doing.
He is great. And they underestimate it.
And he lost. Who did he lose to? Was it one of the Diaz brothers?
He lost to Nate in their first fight by way of a submission, a choke.
And it shocked me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Diaz guys, they're heels too. When I watch, I'm like, oh, knock him out, you know. And then,
well, I thought that would be the way he would lose if he lost.
What, the way submitted. That he did?
Yeah. Because the Diazes are, like, they're also jiu-jitsu black belts.
Well, and they have that length you were talking about. Their arms
they're very
are,
long. They're very long for their weight. They're very long and tall. They're tall for their division. They're long for their divisions. And their jiu-jitsu is, their boxing, they get a lot of credit for their boxing and their strike volume. And they're very good at that. They're tough. You just can't hurt those kids.
No, right. Yeah, they take a huge beating.
Yeah, they're it's insane. But their jiu-jitsu is great. Well, Connor's weak link in his MMA is his groundwork.
Yeah.
He's not known for jiu-jitsu. He's not known for his grappling. So all along, you think, well, if they get him on the ground and they can keep him there, then they have the advantage. And he did. I mean, they had a good war. They fought 2 or 3 rounds there, 4 rounds, whatever. You could argue that McGregor was winning the fight, but it was close enough. And then they got him on the ground, and you know, Diaz submitted him. But then in the second fight, McGregor almost knocked him out two or three times, knocked him down like five times, yeah. Won the decision. You know, he got some crap for backpedaling a few times mm-hmm. in the middle of the fight, but I mean, he easily won that.
What was the UFC's biggest year? As far as most successful?
Money-wise?
Just in general. Publicity-wise, notoriety-wise?
I think you've got a couple of points. I think you've got the last 2 years, they made a
Ronda Rousey,
crazy
probably.
Amount of money with Ronda Rousey yeah. and Conor McGregor and, you know, some of the other stuff going on. So the last couple of years before they sold, because, you know, they sold out.
Yeah.
Those were their biggest, craziest years.
Money-wise especially.
Yeah, money-wise.
But it was like
especially.
They had the huge fights, and then the other cards were okay. Like, it was like they had the big headlines.
Yeah, the last 2 years, though, were they were rolling because all their top names were fighting regularly, yeah. and things went well. Now, the year, like 3 years ago, they had a lot of injuries. It was a bad year. But the last yeah. 2 years was great for them all the way around. In every level, which is why they sold for $4.4 billion,
yeah.
Which is insane. But I would say one of the best eras was the 05, 06 era. Yeah, that was cool because that Ultimate Fighter came out.
People started catching on.
It got to be on regular TV.
Yeah.
And people fell in love with Chuck Liddell, Randy Couture, Tito Ortiz, Dana White. And it became a thing. And then when they had the first Ultimate Fighter finale, that was probably the single greatest moment in UFC. That changed everything.
Was that with one Forrest?
Forrest and Stephen Bonner. That changed fight. That changed everything.
Forrest Whitaker.
They'll tell you that.
Yes.
That was
not Forrest Whitaker. Yeah, that's how he lost his eye before Star
Wars. We got to meet Forrest. His hands were bigger than my head.
Mm. Yeah, he's a big dude. He's about 6'4", 6'5", you know, probably walks around 230. He's a big guy. Real nice dude, though. But that moment changed the whole game for him.
Everything. Rewind your life, okay? And let's say that you were turning 18, 19, 20, and UFC was kind of coming out. Would you have gone that direction?
Oh, I already know this answer.
Would you have tried it?
Yeah. Yes. 100%.
Because there came just the point. I mean,
I would have made it.
You think you would have?
Yeah, I would have done it.
It just wasn't there when we were coming up.
It wasn't like that. It was a different era, right? Like all the way up till 05, 06, even me, who was I was a lifelong martial. I've been in martial arts for 20 years at that time.
Yep.
And I loved it. I liked learning new things. And, you know, I had, you know, my buddy Max was helping me with grappling and stuff. And I thought it was cool. But I still thought it was, I thought it wasn't the direction I had already taken. You know yep. what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I could have switched then and I could have gotten into it because I was 30, you know, then.
But still, that even sounds but for that.
It's late. It's yeah. late to get into that
the
game.
Start.
It really is. It's late athletically. But I still, even then, I thought, wow, this is so cool, but it's just a little different, right? You know, yep. now looking at it, I understand why a lot of young people that are athletic and that want to fight would look at it and go, this would be an opportunity. I even have students who I train and say, you can be my next Alan Belcher or you yep. can be the next whatever. And I think it's a legitimate avenue if you have the right people around you. But when I was 18 or 19, if it would have been like it is now, I would have been very attracted to it and mm-hmm. I would have definitely went for it. I mean, I guess I said that with a lot of confidence while I would have made it, but maybe I wouldn't have. Maybe I would have gotten beaten or something, but I would have given it a good crack. You yeah. know, I made it in the field that I chose to make it in
sure.
pretty much, you know, I guess. But
no, you go everywhere.
I would have went for it yeah. for sure.
So UFC this weekend, McGregor Mayweather coming up, pooping the floor probably when you get home.
I
no
guarantee
doubt.
You
no doubt.
There will be. Yeah.
Thanks for the coffee this morning.
You're welcome, man.
All right. Joey Perry. Hey, Joey Perry Martial Arts. We'll go through the whole thing.
Okay.
And we didn't do a plug the whole way through.
We didn't.
If people want to find out about martial arts, what do they do?
You know what? We're all over social media. Just type in Joey Perry Martial Arts Academy, or you can go to our website at www.joeyperrysma.com. And right now, we're running back-to-school specials. So anybody listening out there, if you got a kiddo, we've got a four-week, $49 special. And you can actually go to the website or one of our social media links, and you can click that, and you can purchase that online. And then we'd love to see you. But, you know, we've got a lot of great adult classes, too. You know, we keep yep. trying to get Brandon in for kickboxing. Our kickboxing class has been the most consistent growing adult class in the last 2 years. It's really good. So our kickboxing for adults and grappling and MMA. So, yeah, come check us out. There's an easy plug.
There you go. Joey Perry on the After Show Podcast.